Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
As I was praying about today and just preparing about what the Lord wanted me to share, it's so wild. I was just praying and I was reminded of a title of a message that I actually preached 5 or 6 years ago. And I don't go back to my messages ever. I probably should to make sure I'm not preaching the same thing. But I was reminded of this title, and the title of that message was called Father's Heart for a Divided Day. And I preached that message on a Father's Day, I think almost six years ago. And so I kind of went back. I thought, well, that's interesting. So I went back and tried to look at it a bit. And I'm not going to preach the same message all over again, but I want to revisit the heart of that message today. What we believe about God and who we believe that he is the most important belief of our life. Because who we know him to be is going to come out of us in all that we do. In all that we are, over the course of our entire life. Who you know God to be, who you know him to be, how you have experienced him, how you know his character will literally shape how you see everyone and everything around you. Who we know him to be shapes how we are in the friendships that we have, in the relationships. It'll shape our marriages, won't it? It'll shape how we parent. How we know God to be, who we know him to be, will shape how we spiritually father and mother and disciple people, those that God has given to us. And the truth is that who we know God to be, what he is like, how we know him, his character, will be the lens for how we see and respond to the entire world around us. And we find out who God is and who he is through prayer, right? We find out who God is through the scriptures, through other believers around us. We actually find out who God is, don't we? But we find out, I believe, who God is most clearly and most articulately, most precisely, there's too many Lees in there, through Jesus. As we look at Jesus, because he's the exact representation of the Father. And my desire today, my passion today, is that we would see and we would encounter the very heart of God, the very heart of the Father in such a way that his heart would become our heart in a greater way. How many say you want the heart of God in you in a greater measure today? That is my heart for this message today. I was remembering with some friends a few days ago about a season of my life where God began to just transform my heart with his. I'd been a believer all my life, but it was in my early 20s that I really began to encounter the heart of God in such a way that I might even say he wrecked my heart with his. Have you had your heart wrecked with his heart? He wrecked my heart with his heart. And I was remembering a song, a worship song that came out in this time. And I remember playing it. Do y'all remember that song, Your Love is Extravagant? Daryl Evans, right? Let the River Flow album. I was like, man, that wasn't that long ago. I went online. I was like, when did that come out? 1997. I can't believe it's been that long. But that song, like I can remember the moment, it kind of was like the signature for that season of my life where I would lay on the ground in my apartment, in my duplex with the Lord, and I would put that song on repeat, and I remember I would encounter the heart of God. I would encounter his heart for me, and he just began to transform my heart. And there was a line in that song that said, capture my heart again. Capture my heart again. Capture my heart again. And he was literally doing that in those moments. I experienced in that season his deep father heart longing for me, his deep desire for me. And it changed my life. And in encountering his heart for me, I saw everyone and everything different. How many know that when you encounter the heart of God in a transformative way, it changes how you see people. It changes how you see the world. It changes how you see those that are around you, that you're in relationship. When that time, it marked my heart, and I'll never be the same. And church, the idea is that he would continue to mark our heart with his heart. It's this progression of encountering his heart. So my prayer really in my life has been regularly, God, enlarge my heart, expand my heart with your heart, that I would be a person, I would be a man after your heart that carries your heart for the world around me. Brennan Manning says this. He says, I was reading a book by him this last week. He said, the issue is not how much theology we have studied or how much scripture we have memorized. All that really matters is this. Have you experienced the furious longing of God or not? Have you experienced the furious longing of God or not? We could say, have you experienced the furious desire that he has for you? I believe that in this moment that we're in, as much as we need great wisdom and great understanding, and we need all of that, church, we need people who carry his heart for the world. We need the church of Jesus Christ to be in touch with the affections in the heart of God that carry his heart in such a place of union with his heart that it's who we are that the world can see him. This is our watch, right? That in the midst of great brokenness, in the midst of great division and pain and great unrighteousness and sin all around us, God still loves the world. Can I hear an amen on that? God still loves the world, the whole world. Somebody gave me a word not long ago that said, go back to your roots. And I can't imagine a place that's more at my roots than John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the next one is just as good. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That is enough to make us do the happy dance this morning, right? This is the gospel. This is the pure gospel, that God so loves the whole world. He loves the people that don't think like me. He even loves the people that are not like me. He loves those who don't even know him yet, right? He loves those that are even fighting against him and warring against him. He didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. He sent him to claim it and to save it and to reconcile it. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says this, that the Father, through Jesus, reconciled us, meaning he ended the separation in the distance. He ended the estrangement that was caused by sin. And guess what? Now has given us the ministry of reconciliation. God making his appeal through us. God making his appeal through the church, through you. Turn to somebody and say, you have a ministry. Some of you are resisting me. Tell them, you have a ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. Did you know that as a believer, that through your life, God is making his appeal to the world through you? That your life, in my life, be lifted high, in my love, in my, you know, all that we were just singing, God is making his appeal through your life to the world around you. Tomorrow morning at work, he is making his appeal through you. Like, think about this. This gives an entirely new place of vision tomorrow when you wake up. In that office that you are in that classroom that you are in that boardroom that you are in, whatever influence that you've been given and whatever influence you will have, he is making his appeal through you. You have a ministry. It's a ministry of reconciliation. And so if God is making his appeal through us, we must make sure that the appeal we are making is his. We must make sure that the appeal that we are making is his. And that the heart of that appeal, the motivation of our heart, is his heart. That in the midst of the battles of the day, and there are many battles, that we would be motivated by his heart for the world. I don't know about you, but I need continual reminding of this. I need a continual reminder of the vision and the bigger picture agenda of heaven. And that is that I am a representative. I am an ambassador. God is making his appeal through me to the world to be reconciled to him. It is the mission of the church. This is the ministry we've been given, reconciliation. Jesus is returning. How many are thankful for that? Jesus is coming again. The promises, he will come again. He will set everything right. Every single person will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. That's serious stuff, isn't it? But listen to what 2 Peter 3:9 says, that he is not slow to keep that promise that he will return, but is patient towards you. He is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That all should reach repentance. What a filter and what a lens for us to look through in this time that we are living in. As the sons and daughters of the living God, that we would carry this heart in us in this time that we're living in, that none would perish, but that all should reach repentance. This is still the mission. And I feel like today I want to boldly remind us that this is still his heart for the world. Not wishing that any would perish, but that all would reach repentance. And my prayer today is that we, Hope Church, we would burn with this in our hearts as well. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Luke 15. We're going to spend the majority of our time here today. Are you awake with me? Are you good? Okay, good. Here we go. Jesus tells three stories in Luke 15. We're going to read them all. It's going to be good. And as we read these, though, I'd love, just like how we really should do when we read any scriptures, that we read it with prayer. We pray, we read with a prayerful heart saying, God, reveal to me who you are. Reveal to me your heart. Show me who you really are. If there's anything in me that needs to be corrected or confronted about any misunderstanding that I have about you, it's just like we would just, as we read it, say, Holy Spirit, correct that. Holy Spirit, bring me into alignment with your word. Bring me into alignment with the heart of God. Reveal who you are, because I want to see who you really are. Not who I might even think you are, but I want to see who you are in a fresh way. Does anybody want to see him in a fresh way today? That is my heart. So the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, Jesus tells three parables, and we're going to read those, starting with verse 1. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. That line right there is big in itself. The tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to him, to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. I love how the Message reads it. It says, by this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation, I think we've got the Message version up there too, were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and the religion scholars were not pleased, not at all pleased. They growled. He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends. Their grumbling triggered this story. Now here's, we get into this. We can't forget that the Pharisees and the scribes were the ones who had the scriptures memorized. They were the ones that obeyed all the commandments in the law. But what we find here is that they were missing the heart of the Father. They were missing the heart of the Father. And church, I'd even just say to us that when, as you follow God a long time and as you're in church, we should beware, because it can happen to us too. It can happen to us too. So Jesus told them this parable, verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he's lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Verse 8, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. At the heart of these two parables, Jesus is revealing the heart of God for those who are lost. He's revealing the passion in the heart of God for the lost. He's saying, if you will awaken to what's going on in heaven, you'll see how it's meant to be here on earth. There's a party going on in heaven when a lost one comes back to the Father, and you should be partying too, right? Every time a single sinner sees the light and begins to follow God's way, heaven has a party. I don't know about you, but I want to be partying more. I feel this for us. Like, I want to begin to see an increased way in my life and in our church in this year, people coming to Jesus. I want my life to be so the heart of God that people are so turned to Him and they come to Him. This is the heart of the Father. And as I was studying this, what I found was that the religious people in this day had a saying, and this was the saying. It was almost like what Jesus said, but it was completely opposite. They would say, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who's obliterated before God. I never heard that before. They used to say that. And I wonder sometimes if in our culture that same spirit in subtle ways can get upon us. I pray that we would never have even a residue of this on our lives. And so what Jesus is doing in this moment is that he is correcting this and he's revealing the heart of the Father. The tax collectors, the sinners, the lost ones are drawing close to him. And in this, he is showing the Pharisees, he is showing the people around him that who God really is. We move on to verse 11. Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that's coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and he took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. You know the story. And when he'd spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I'll arise and I'll go to my father's. And I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So he gets this plan in his head. This is what I'm going to go and say. And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. How many are thankful for this story? How many, is this your story today? It's all of our story in one way or another. Now his older son, it says the older brother, and you know, this is often called the prodigal son story, but it could be the story of two brothers. It could be the story of the running father. It says his older son was in the field, and as he came and he drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours..." Can you say that out loud with me? "This son of yours came, you who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and now is found." Isn't that an incredible picture? Such an incredible picture of the heart of God. Nobody knows the Father's heart better than Jesus. What a mind-blowing view into who God really is. This is as clear of a picture as anywhere in the teachings of Jesus of what God's love is like. It's as clear as anywhere of who God says, Jesus says that God's love is like. It's easy to underestimate the gravity of this family dynamic because the younger son has totally humiliated his father, totally humiliated his family. Like in our culture, this may not seem as terrible as it really was in that day, but in those days, respect for fathers and elders was of the utmost importance. And division of the estate was only done when the father had died. So for him to ask his father for his inheritance was to wish his father dead. And this son is saying, "Father, I don't want you. I want your things." That's what he was saying. It was so in your face. It was such a in your face rejecting, a blatant rejecting of the Father. Have you ever blatantly rejected God? This is what's happening here. And in that culture, a father would have normally responded by kicking that rear of that son right out the door. Literally. In fact, that's how the Pharisees would have hoped the story would have went, because that's the God that they knew. And as I studied this, I learned that the majority of the father's wealth would have been held up in real estate. It would have been held up in land. The older brother would have gotten 2/3 of the inheritance. The younger brother would have gotten 1/3. How many would have liked to have been the older brother to get more? I'm an only child, so I get it all, if there is any. The dad wasn't like, "Hey, I'm going to go run to the Bank of Jerusalem ATM and get out your cash." I mean, this would have, the father would have had to have sold like 1/3 of the land to get him his inheritance. So the situation, I say all that to say the situation is really serious. It would have caused a substantial upheaval, what this boy was asking for. And that day, the father's identity is tied up in the land, probably passed down from generations before him. So to lose your land was to lose a part of yourself. Do you feel the pain in this? Do you feel the depth of this? His son is asking his father to literally tear his life apart so he can run off and do whatever the heck he wants. I think it's important to understand this, guys, the largeness of this offense. I think it's important to understand the impact of this lifestyle choice that this son is making. And Jesus is sharing this parable for one person, for one purpose, and that's to reveal the heart of God, to reveal how costly this father's love is, that you can literally feel the pain and the ache, the longing of the father. Church, I believe that Jesus wants us to feel the father's heart as well. I believe that today he wants us to feel his heart in the story for us, the incredible love that he has for us, but I believe that he wants us to feel his heart in this for the lost sons and daughters that are out there. For those that have walked away, so that we can carry his heart for those who are far off. I get a little concerned in the climate that we're in, that's so combative, that in the midst of all the things that we have to do and give ourselves to, that we could miss the heart of God for the world. It is such a combative culture right now, but the church of Jesus Christ is to be different. It's to be different, and we need to feel this. We need to go beyond head knowledge here so that we can live in the heart of the Father for the lost sons and daughters, in our families, in our circles, in our cities, because when we do, we will shed this us against them mentality. And we will stop throwing our stones and we will start calling the lost sons and daughters home to their place in the family of God. Come on. Instead of shaking our fists and shouting out cutting words, we'll say, hey, don't run from this love. It's too good. It's too good. Run to the Father. Run to the Father. I've encountered the Father and it's so good. And then our role would be literally like we tenderly plead with you, turn to God, turn to your Father, because he longs for your returning. He longs for your returning. And in telling the story, Jesus reveals that the Father, he reveals the Father's heart, and that he doesn't cut off the Son, that he doesn't try and control the Son. What do we do when things go crazy? We want to control, don't we? He doesn't manipulate. He doesn't even get angry anywhere that we see. He doesn't demand justice in that moment. He doesn't even demand the son's love. He gives him his part of the inheritance and he lets him go. He lets him choose, and the father bears the agony of it all. Sometimes I think that we forget how much the father's heart must be in agony over the condition of the world still. You heard the story. The son goes off. He lives this self-indulgent life, prostitutes and everything that we could imagine. He's totally out of control, the worst of the worst, just the bottom of the barrel. He goes broke, and he wishes that he could even have what the pigs were eating. You know, in Jewish culture, you didn't even want to be around a pig. He hits rock bottom, and then he comes to his senses. And he recognizes his sin. And he makes a plan. He's going to return to the Father and admit he was wrong. Did you know that true repentance is recognizing sin? True repentance is recognizing wrong and turning from it. True repentance. Many in the church, I believe, are living out this reality, just hoping that they can come and be a hired servant to repay the debt, working for God as a servant in hopes to repay the debt of some past sins that they could never pay for, living like hired hands instead of beloved sons and daughters, overcome with guilt and shame of the past, which leads to distance and disconnect of the heart. So he hits the road, goes back home, and it says, we just read it, he comes inside of the house, and while he's a long way off, church, hear this. This is the heart of our Father. It says his Father sees him, and he feels compassion for him, and he runs. Without knowing why his son was returning, he runs to him. Not from him, he runs to him. This is a picture for us. When you turn to God, He turns to you. How many know that to be true? When you realize your condition and you recognize your need, church, your Father runs to you. This is what Jesus is revealing to us. Is this the heart of God that we know? Is this the heart of God that we feel? As a rule, distinguished Eastern patriarchs did not run. Children might run, women might run, but not the pillar of the family. The pillar of the family did not run. But this father runs to his son, and he is, in doing so, creating a culture right here for all in his household to see of how to receive back sons and daughters that have been far off. He's creating a culture here. Jesus was revealing the very heart of God, a father that they could not have ever imagined to be this good and this kind. And I believe it's a father that most still cannot imagine is really that way. But it is. It's who he is. He shows his emotions. He shows his passion for his son. And he openly falls on him and begins to kiss him before he can even repent. Can you imagine this scene, what it would have been like? And the father interrupts the son's "I'm sorry" speech and says, "Son, you're home. Son, you're home." He gets the best robes, right? He gets the best shoes. He brings out the ring. It's the seal of sonship. And he says, "Let's party. Let's feast." What is he doing? The father is setting the culture for his entire household to see. Church, I think it's something for us to see right here. He says, "Prepare the fattened calf," which was the most expensive meat there was. They could have only eaten it on the rarest of occasions. This is the heart of our Father. Church, this is the gospel. We must go back to the gospel. You all look mad at me right now. Smile at me. We need to go back to the gospel, to the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's love and forgiveness through Jesus can pardon and restore every kind of sin and wrongdoing. Every single kind. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or how deliberately you've even done it. It doesn't matter what you did last night or last summer. When you turn to your Father, He runs to you. When you turn to Jesus, His blood will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I know this is basic. Some of you are probably sitting here today like, "I know this," but God, guys, I believe that we need a refresher of this in our heart. I believe that we need a refresher of the heart of God in our heart. This story is the love of God for humanity. This is the Father's heart for you. Even as you've been saved for years, maybe, it's the Father's heart for me. It's the Father's heart for the entire world that is lost, for the lost sons and daughters all over our city. This is the heart that we get to carry for the lost, for the worst of the worst. This is the heart of the Father for those that are enslaved in every form of addiction, every form of sexual immorality and lifestyle. This is the heart of the Father for the Muslim and the atheist. This is the heart of the Father for the murderer, for the adulterer, for the gossip, for the thief. This is the heart of God for the left-wing liberal and the right-wing conservative and everybody in between. This is the heart of the Father for the world. We're so shocked when the world behaves like the world. Why do we throw stones when the lost act like lost people? You were crazy before you met Jesus too. You were. Whether you realize it or not, unbelievers, church, are looking to us. They're looking to you. Your neighbors are looking to you. Our co-workers are looking to us. And they are looking to us to share who He really is. And this goes way beyond religious routine or trying to legislate morality. This is about the kindness and the goodness of God that is going to cause their hearts to repent and turn to Him. And He's going to use us as ministers of reconciliation. It's who we are. It's the church. We need a fresh revelation of the heart of the Father for the world. And guys, I want to suggest to you that we need Luke 15 to burn in our hearts again. We need it to burn in us. Church, God is raising up in this house spiritual mothers and fathers in this room, watching online, who will see and respond with his heart, who will father and mother this city and this region and the nations. We're going to give ourselves to this year. Our heart and our focus is discipling. We're going to disciple people. Church, there's a great harvest that is going to come, and it's going to come through all of us out there, and they are going to need spiritual mothers and fathers that carry the heart of God, that will bring them into family and show them the way, show them the true heart of God. We're going to talk more about that next week, but I just want us to remember that these three stories began with the religious leaders scowling because lost people with sinful reputations were hanging around Jesus. And he goes into these extensive parables to help them to understand who God really is. Do you think sometimes we forget who God really is? I mean, I've been a believer for my whole life, and I have to tell you, there are moments I kind of forget who God is. I mean, I could tell you who God is, but my heart forgets who God is sometimes. And I think Luke 15 brings us back again to a big part of who God really is and what his heart is really for the world. And church, we need this heart. In a turbulent atmosphere like we are in our country, in the midst of us being a part of the kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. Church, I just want to implore us, I want to encourage us, exhort us that we need to stay on mission. That we need to stay on mission with his heart so that we can carry his heart. I believe he's reviving in the church a heart for the lost and a heart for the world. A heart for maybe for people that we've even written off. People that we think have gone too far. Church, today I believe he's releasing his heart again to us, that in the midst of this divided day, we get an invitation to his heart for the world that he loves so much, so that we can walk out the ministry of reconciliation, not the ministry of division, but that we can point the world to Jesus. We don't manipulate the world to Jesus. We show the world who he is through our lives. How many want to be a part of that this morning? Would you stand with me this morning? I didn't even get to the older brother today. But here's the thing that stood out to me about one of many things. When the prodigal son, the younger brother, returns, the older brother's angry. I think we all get it in the natural, right? In our flesh. He lectures his father in front of the other guests, refuses to come in. But this is what stood out to me. He says to the father, he says, this son of yours, with anger, with rage. And the father responds to him with truth and with kindness. And the father says, this your brother. What would happen if in our everyday life, everybody wants to know, what do we do about all of this going on in the world? I think we can only really focus on what's our next step going to be. What if we took the step of not seeing the people around us as an enemy or as somebody that was far off, but we saw them as a potential brother? We saw them as a potential sister, the one who seems so opposed to God. What if we actually took the father's heart and we said, no, that guy's going to be my brother. He's going to turn, and I'm going to be a part of his reconciliation. I'm going to be a part. I'm going to walk in the ministry that I've been given of reconciliation, seeing the world turn to Jesus. Would you close your eyes with me this morning and just ask you to do that? I just wonder today if maybe that there is somebody here, maybe you're watching online today, And maybe you've been far off. Maybe you've been far off. Maybe you're like the younger brother. I just want to tell you wholeheartedly, God loves you. I want to tell you, you're so loved that God has compassion for you. That like this son, he wants to actually embrace you. He wants to kiss you in a sense. He wants you to feel his affection for you. There is nothing that you can do to make him love you more. And I want to tell you this, that if you will turn to him, he will embrace you. I just want to just say that on behalf of Jesus, I want to encourage you. Today is a day that you can be reconciled to God. That through the blood of Jesus and through the confession of your sin, he will cleanse you and restore you and give you a new life. With just every head bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask, is there anybody here that would like to make that decision today? Maybe you've been far off. Maybe you've been walking away from the Lord. Today, I want to just ask you, just lift up your hand real quick so I can see it. Maybe you're online and you're watching today. I want to encourage you, call us, write us, message us today on social media. We want to reach out to you. We want to share the heart of God with you because we know that there is a harvest of lost ones coming into the kingdom, and we want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of that. Jesus' name. Okay, the second thing I just want to say is, how many in here would say, I want to see the world and I want to see the lost with the heart of the Father, and I want to activate in my life the ministry of reconciliation? Would you just lift your hand if that's you? There's no pressure. Don't do it under pressure. But I just, would you lift up your voices and just say yes, Lord, to that? Father, I pray that you would release your heart all over our church. I pray that you would give us your heart for the world. I pray that you would give us your heart for the lost, that you would give us your heart, that we would not be confused in this moment, that we would keep the mission clear, that you would give us your heart for the sons and daughters that are far off. Even as our hands are lifted, I pray for a fresh anointing over you, an activation in your life, the ministry of reconciliation, that tomorrow you would be in moments that surprise you and you would carry the heart of reconciliation in your office, in your boardroom, wherever you go. If you're a teacher, that literally you would have new eyes for the students in that room, that you would carry the ministry of reconciliation, that your prime motive would be to lead them to the heart of the Father. I pray this over our church today, that this year would be a year where we open our arms and we invite the lost ones into family and we see them grow and become, and the harvest would be great. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, can we give the Lord just a big shout of praise this morning? I mean, really, can we praise the Lord? Can we just thank him? We thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Church, we love you. All of you who are at home, we love you. We don't think less of you because you stayed home. We love you. I hope that we're all back together next Sunday. I hope you drive safely this afternoon. God bless you. Love you a ton.